My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. No pain, no death can enter there. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. It's glittering tires, the sun outshine. I feel like traveling on. That heavenly mansion shall be mine. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Well, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like traveling on. Until that blessing home I see, I feel like traveling on. Sing it. Yes, I feel like traveling, traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on.
Hey, man, that's better than a vacation you'll take. We'll travel on. It's good to see this good crowd tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Who's got a special spoken or unspoken prayer request on their heart tonight?
Get Troy Wise.
Troy Wise.
Coming a long time. He's been bringing Rod with him, but Rod hadn't been coming, so he's been coming by himself, and he's had a stroke, and it's really bad, and it has affected the back of his brain, and she says that the doctor says there is some function, and they're believing that he has a good chance of coming out of it, but they can't say for sure. But please remember him. He's a good man.
Well, and hadn't been coming too long, so remember him tonight. Anybody else tonight? Okay, Tony Tipton Tuesday. Yes. Yes. Family. Okay. Anybody else tonight? Yes, Connie. Page 20. Well, if we do the offering we can, honey, if I know it. He's my king. Now that's normally a choir song. See, you want us to bite off on it tonight? We can. We'll try it.
We'll let Nick sing the verses. We'll sing the choruses.
I doubt that, brother. Anybody else tonight?
Any? I want to thank the church for their prayers for Mom. I mentioned Wednesday night she had passed multiple kidney stones up to double digits. She seems to be in the clear now.
Oh, that's good. That is good. That's right.
Yeah. I
mean, I know he's proud of his son. Mm-hmm. And I know Joe Gibbs is a good Christian man.
Yeah.
A good Christian man. Loves the Lord.
So I'll start his son at 49 years old.
Hmm. Remember their family tonight. Okay. Dwayne, would you care to come up and take up our offering tonight, sir? Thank you. Family. Yeah. Bless our offering, Dwayne.
Ken,
you'll have to play it in and see if we can get this song. Connie, you want to sing it, honey? You know it? Come on, sister. No, but I mean, you'll lead us. I mean, if you like this, huh? Come on, Ken. Come on, brother. Well, I thought you was going to play it. You want to play it for us? Yeah. Hurry up, brother. I'm 60. And time's moving on. We'll see if we can get this. Well, you start and let's see if I can get in, jump in there like the darlings with you somewhere. We're gonna let him play that. That's so pretty. But I'm afraid to jump in there. Huh? Yeah. If I had spoons, I'd hit my spoons with him, but I don't have spoons tonight. It's good we can laugh about it, isn't it? What you're getting is choir practice right here during church service, looks like. I know that song. But it has been a long time since I've sung that song. That's beautiful, Ken. That's beautiful, buddy. Thank you. Now, Connie, we'll pick up on that another time, honey. That's right. Hey, come on back, Becky. We sure did. Now, We'll sing about Won't It Be Wonderful there, 358.
Savior, we enter the glory land. Won't it be wonderful there? Ending the troubles and cares of the story land. Won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with heart bells all ringing. Oh, won't it be wonderful there? Walking and talking with Christ. Wonderful there, praising, adoring the matchless eternal one. Won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with heart bells all ringing. Oh, won't it be wonderful there? There where the tempest will never be sweeping us. Won't it be wonderful there? Sure that forever the Lord will be keeping us. Won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with heart bells all ringing. Oh, won't it be wonderful
in every journey that can break us. There are burdens that can bring us to our knees. But it's in those moments when our faith feels weakest that we simply stand our ground and just believe. Storm, he's still the same. Pray now, pray now. There is strength and power in Jesus' name. So pray now. The silence doesn't mean that he's not listening. And the darkness doesn't mean that he is gone. 'Cause he promised he would never ever leave us. And you've never spent one moment on your own. Storm, he's still the same. Pray now, pray now. There is strength and power in Jesus' name. So pray now. Blessed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Storm, he's still the same. Hallelujah. Pray now. Pray now. There is strength and power in Jesus' name. There is strength and power in Jesus' name. So pray.
Ken, he's my king and reigns forevermore. That's it, right? He's my king, worship and adore. Oh, I dearly love him, there's no one above him. Wonderful is he, this mighty king of glory. He's my king. Amen. It's amazing. It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, man. Thank you, Amy, for that song. Thank you for that song. I've just been inundated with people wanting prayer this week. It's just almost like a storm of people needing prayer. I listened to that little lady up in Pennsylvania talk about her son. And I'm sure y'all remember him. He sat right back behind where Nick is there, and he would wear a short sometimes, and he'd wear a shirt with it unbuttoned down here. And he's had lived a little rough, and but boy, he had a sweet spirit, and he was searching for better things and deeper things with the Lord. And I'm sorry to say that the man that he was bringing didn't continue, and I had to go. Take him to the VA emergency room to try to get him admitted for his alcohol and drug abuse. But Dan tried really hard to keep him here. And then this happens to Dan. His little mom was just heartbroken, asking for prayer. And then Linda Kenley, text me this afternoon, and Troy is in trouble. How many of y'all know Troy, her son? Yeah. Please pray for him. They knew this could happen at some point, that the tumor, you who know him, remember when he was a little boy? He used to kick Kay's shins off in Sunday school. And I wish he could kick again. But after nine, y'all remember, I can't remember the years, but the tumor in his spine took over, and he lost the use of his legs, and his body down. But they told him that one day that could come back, and they've been dreading it. And she says, it looks like it's back. And there's nothing they can do. His little body is full of metal already. And But we serve a good God. I remember Troy being on some of the Bible teams we had. He was super. Yeah, your son was on there with him. He was a super smart young man. He memorized half of the material for four people. Just did a great job. And just pray for him and his mama. And everybody else that we've requested prayer about, my heart's just touched for Becky, Augustus, and John. One of the things you see as a pastor, because you care for everybody in your church, nobody knows a pastor's heart. You can't know unless you're a pastor, have a pastor's heart. But you love all your people, and year after year after year, you go through so many people who it just breaks your heart to see the situation. And at the same time, you tell them, hey, God's good. We have these things because of sin. The third chapter of Genesis is the reason your family has problems. The third chapter of Genesis is the reason I have problems and you have personal problems. We ought to hate sin for everything that we're worth. I ran across this knowing that on a Sunday night, and I'm looking out here to everybody that's sitting in this congregation tonight. And I, without the knowledge of God, I would say that everyone in here tonight has a relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son and God the Holy Spirit. I think I could honestly say that. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. That's up to you, but I know every one of you, and I love every one of you. So I wanted to give you something to just kind of perk you up a little. You like to be perked up? Well, there's nothing better to perk a Christian up than the Word, right? You can't perk a lost person up. You can give them the Word so they can get saved, but a Christian, you can put a little coffee and water in the coffee maker and get that thing going. I remember the old percolators. Y'all know percolators? Maxwell House, I believe it was, used to do a commercial, and that coffee pot would start, and they go, boom, boom. And they had a tune to it. And first thing you know, that tune's picking up, and that coffee's being made, and you can just about smell that coffee through the TV. So it's good to be perked up a little bit, isn't it? In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, I probably don't have to read it, but I will, because you know what it says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. I would have thought there would have been something else there besides the comma when you understand these two verses of Scripture, because love could stand on its own, and there's a reason for that. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. But he goes on to say, and it's also joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And then he says this, against such there is no law. Maybe you've read all those fruits of the Spirit and you never paid much attention to those last few words where he says, against such there is no law. I would say it like this. You just can't beat it. You can't beat a spirit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. You just can't beat it. Let's thank the Lord for this and let Him give us a few thoughts that we can take out with us tomorrow. I don't mind telling you right now, I'm just filled to the brim with that song that Amy just sang. And I guess it was because I needed to hear it, because I've heard so many people this week who have just been begging for prayer for their loved ones that are in dire need. Maybe we don't have a dire need, but every one of us have a need. You know, the word poor means you have a need. And when He said the poor in spirit, He said we have a need. We have a need. And I just want tonight for our spirits to be picked up, because we have the Spirit. The Spirit. And the fruits are apparent in our life. And I just pray for those fruits to be apparent, because the fruits are there in a Christian's life. And I want you to always remember this. The fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is not for you. It's for the people who will come into your life. They've got to be able to get something from you. They've got to be able to pull that apple off that tree. Lord, we thank You for the Scripture. We thank You for this time this evening. I want to thank You for Your sweet Holy Spirit. I want to thank You that He does His job. He protects us. He convicts us. He is so good. And we can have the fruits of the Spirit in our life, so that we can help someone else know the good life. Know what it's like to hear that song sung and feel what it's telling us, that we just need to pray to the One who loved us, who cared for us, who died for us. And we'll thank You, Lord, for what You do here tonight, what You've already done. We can't thank You enough. Our hearts couldn't be grateful enough to You tonight for what You are to us. But we're going to say thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. The Spirit. If I were to ask you, do you have the Spirit as a Christian? Your answer would be what?
Yes.
Yes, you do. You see, His Spirit is the power of Christianity. It is your power as a Christian that you have His Spirit. You received the Spirit of God the moment you repented of your sin and asked for His Son to be your Savior. Because the three of them don't go anywhere without the other. You received the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You did. It's the means of generating power in you, the Holy Spirit is. That's why when we need something to refuel us, when we need something to perk us up, when we need something in our Christianity, and I think perking up is a good word to say there. I'm not belittling the Word of God by saying that. Something that's lacking. I was talking to a lady just the other day, and she was talking about that at one time she was a Baptist, and but she had gone to a Baptist church for a long time, and she felt like she needed a little more. Must have been a dry Baptist church, because she was telling me that she had to go to a Pentecostal church to get what she wanted or what she needed. And I'm thinking, well, that's a shame, because we all got the same spirit. Right. But I tell you what, I had to listen to her and kind of grin deep down inside, because we're so stuffy sometimes, we can't say hallelujah, praise the Lord, right, and raise a hand and give him some praise. Come on, what's wrong with us? Right. We could. I told her I wasn't a Baptist or a Pentecostal. I was a Bapticostical. And she accepted that as a good answer. I said, I just love the Lord and love him. If I feel like saying something or doing something, I'm going to do it if it costs Paul a heifer. That's an old phrase my daddy used to use. And I know how serious that is, if it costs Paul a heifer. So I know how important the Spirit is to a Christian. I know how it generates in us. I know when we're born again, of the Spirit of God. So I know there's no way for me to be a Christian without having His Spirit. Right. And that Spirit cultivates all the time. He digs. And He hoes and He plants and He sows. And He's all the time working in us so we can grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what His job is. His job is to make sure I grow. And I grow by the Spirit. I don't grow by knowledge. Do I love to read the Word and learn more? I sure do. I sure do. And when I can't read and study and preach again, I'm going to miss it. Because it's in me, it burns in my bones to find out the light bulbs can turn on and you can learn something and you can share it with someone else. That's what preaching is, by the way. Sharing what God's given you. And I would sorely, sorely, sorely miss that, because I do love to do that. And I believe that God gave me that Spirit that causes me to be cultivated and make me want to be more and more for Him. So my identity with Him is my relationship with Jesus Christ. And I am so glad to be identified with Him. Yeah. I am. But there's a word here in this, and I got to share this with you. And I know that a lot of times when you preach on love, there are people who want to hear some really hardcore, smack you upside the head, beat you with the ball bat kind of stuff, and they'll say love has nothing to do with that. Well, I differ from that. My dad beat me. Could I tell you my dad loved me? Now, he didn't beat me unmercifully, you know what I mean. He just got my attention really good. He could get your attention. But he loved me. He loved all of his kids. We knew we were loved. And the reason we knew we were loved, because he would say, I don't want you boys going in the wrong direction. So I'm going to direct you. Get in the bedroom. Get ready. And then he'd swing that big size 48 belt out of those loops. And it seemed like you could hear them as it went through every one of them. And when it finally went through the last one, you said, oh, no. I wish you had one more loop in those pants. But God gets our attention because he loves us. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that I accepted his son as my savior. With all that's gone on with me and my years of being saved, if I had not been saved, you wouldn't have been looking at Dan Foster here tonight. I know that. God's good. He is. And in spite of who we are and what we are and what we've been, he loves us. That's the key word here. Love. If you added 1 plus 8, you would get what? Now, if you stammer on that, I'm going to give you the math teacher right back here on the back. She'll help you with that problem. You teach math, Nick? Oh, no, we got two of them in here. We got two. So you can't miss this one, okay? 1 plus 8 is 9. We know that. Now, if you count the fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, you'll find that there are 9 there. But the reason I said it the way I did, 1 plus 8 is 9, is because 1 stands alone. If it wasn't for the love, if it wasn't for the first one there, you wouldn't have all the others. But because you do have the love, and you... If you don't have the love of Christ in you and you call yourself a Christian, you're wrong. You're dead wrong. You need to get saved. I can tell you. Now you're going to find out, then what do you mean, do I have the love of Christ? Well, we're going to find out all these other things follow the first one. The eight other ones are there because of the first one. So look at love, okay? Why love only? Well, there's just get you a concordance and read all that there is in the Bible about love, and you'll see what I mean. That's why it's not standing alone, actually, but in actuality it is standing alone. Because when this one word is uttered, there is no more to say. Okay? Now, I'm gonna let that stew just a little bit right there, because you'll say, well, I've had people tell me they love me. I didn't say they told you that they loved you. I had somebody tell me one time, words are cheap. If the action's not there, the actual is not there. Right? So, if it's true love, there's nothing else to say. You don't have to add anything to it. You don't have to take anything away from it, because love stands on its own. So 1 plus 8 is 9. Don't forget that. The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. And by the way, he doesn't say spirits. Did you notice that? The fruit of the Spirit is the Spirit is love. And then he goes on to say, but so what he has done there, he has combined those into one ball. I don't know what all is inside of these balls, like a golf ball. Tom could tell you what's inside a golf ball. I do know that I used to drive a golf ball 400 yards. I put it in my trunk and drove it up the street. But he could tell you what's inside those things. They come out with new stuff all the time, but there's really more than one element there. You think there's that hard core around it, and then there's some kind of rubber thing inside that makes it bounce off of that club and go as far as it goes. No, they've come up with stuff now that they put in there that makes that thing go a country mile. Arnold Palmer would love to be a golfer today, wouldn't he? Because they got all that good stuff. I don't know what's in there. I do know what's in this ball. I do know what's in this ball. Now let's take a look at it. Since we know that it's a fruit of the Spirit and that he's got love as the first thing, I would say that the love is that core that they put in there that makes that ball go as far as it goes. It's not the outside. It's not Anything within the first couple layers, I can guarantee. How many layers in a golf ball, Tom? Two, three, and four. The four-layered golf balls are the best. Oh, there's only two, three, and four, but there's a fifth one if you know how to get it. That's the one you take the four and put it in the microwave for a little while and it changes things. No, we know that it's not that outward one. It's not the second one. Not the, it's that core that makes the difference. Am I right? I learned this somewhere. I don't know where I did it, but it's that core that makes the difference. Well, that core is love. In this ball that's being put in our lives right now, love is the core of that ball. The rest of this stuff just follows suit. So let's see what he has to say, okay? Now he says, now if you have the love, you'll have the joy. Y'all know how I feel about joy. The first time I ever learned to sing that song, I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. You know that song? Down in my heart, down in my heart. And I never knew exactly what that meant, that I had joy down in my heart. But boy, I sure did like it. I liked the feeling of knowing that there was something in my heart that made me different. And I didn't have the joy, I had the love for the joy. That made the joy. Now, I got it, but if I didn't have love, I wouldn't have the joy. If you don't have the core of that ball, you won't have the other layers. They're not going to be there. So I have joy in my life. Joy is a continuous cheerfulness. Now, I know that sometimes your bones ache, your head aches, your tummy aches. There's different things that can happen to you, and you're not going to look like there's any joy ever been in your life. You're going to look like you have been dumped off the side of the road just for a tractor trailer to hit or something. I don't know where that one came from. But you're not going to be somebody that looks like you do. Are you with me? They're going to look at your face and they'll say, wonder what in the world's wrong with them. I go to places of business and I wonder how in the world they stay in business, because the people who wait on me are terrible. Jimmy, you better remember this. I went to pick up my dry cleaning the other day, and this lady comes out and says, what do you want? I said, well, I came to pick up my cleaning. And she said, what's the name? I said, Lord, I'm in the wrong place. And I told her, and she said, well, you're not getting them all. And I said, I'm not? No. Please give me all of them. And so she goes back and she comes back up there and she says, one of them had a spot on it. Do you want it too? I said, no, I brought it to a cleaner's. I'm a smart aleck when I need to be. I said, no, I brought it to a cleaner's. And she said, well, we're going to have to keep it unless you want to take it like it is. I said, well, you keep it because I've paid you for it already and I'll come back and get it. Amen? Yeah. So, she wasn't continuously cheerful. Don't know what was going on in her life. I'm having to recalibrate myself about people that I feel like are just rude and crude and unattractive. There's things going on in people's lives that we don't know about, and we need to back up a minute as a Christian, back up a minute and let that love take over and know that there are things going on in people's lives that just not going to allow them to be continuously cheerful, okay? There's a gladness in my heart, but it doesn't show all the time. I know that because I've had people say, what's wrong with you? True love sees no bad days, I can assure you. But there may be a bad day in your life that will cause you not to look like this glorious individual. I believe that joy creates a song in you. I don't know what the song would be. It might be a song without a title, but it'll be something inside you that just says there's something good about where you are today and what you have the possibility of being. So that's the joy that he's talking about. But we know that joy is not there unless you have the first one. The love has to be there. So if you find yourself not loving your mankind, please get that, because I want you to have joy. Next time I see you, I want to see some continuous cheerfulness in your life. Love is the only thing that can keep you cheerful in this life that we live down here. I can tell you that. So if you want to be joyous, get where you need to be. Now, he went on to say, peace was the other layer. We're going to put this layer in. Now, peace is not a stagnant pool. You know, some people think peace. So peace is just still, you know, we see a body of water that's there's no waves or anything. It's just smooth as can be. And you say, isn't that peaceful? But there may be stagnation all over that thing. And it may. So peace is not stagnation. Peace is not. I'll tell you where peace comes from. Peace comes from the end of a battle. You know, when World War II was declared over with, what were they declaring? Peace. Because the war was over. The battle was over. Now you can really have peace. The war's not over in this life we live. But there was a battle put on for us. There was a huge battle that was waged for us. And when he was victorious, we now can have the peace because he was victorious. Not because we're victorious, but because he was victorious. So next time you hear about two nations at war with each other, but you know that war has ended and they have declared peace, thank God for it. There can be war inside the church. Yeah, but when that war is over, then you can declare peace. But there is no peace until that takes place. I was watching something the other night where it's talking about burying the hatchet. I don't know where that came from. If you know, let me know. But the phrase bury the hatchet, it's there. And so the hatchet has to be buried. If you've got something going on in your life and you've got the hatchet out, you've got to bury the hatchet. You got to get rid of it so that you can have the peace. So we got the joy and the peace. We got that layer. Then we got the layer of long suffering. Just giving you a few layers of your golf ball here, okay? This is going to be the best golf ball ever. Tom will want a whole pack of these. So the next layer of this is long suffering. There was a time when my temper was not good. But I would venture to say that every one of you were worse than I was. Just sharing with you that I had a short fuse. But I know some other people who would say amen who have a short fuse also. Amen. Yeah. My fuse, I'd have to say my fuse is a little longer today because I'm not short fused like I used to be, and I thank the Lord for it. But if we're going to be short fused, we're going to have a problem with long suffering, because you can't have long suffering if you're short fused, okay? Because love suffereth long. That's the long suffering. And if love is there, you can make this happen. And it's not only that, it is kind. Yeah, a mother's love is unbelievable, isn't it? It is. Boy, does she suffer long. And she will, and she will, and she will. And she won't give up. Men, I'm sorry to say, but they have that cornered. That belongs to the women. That belongs to the mothers. Because they believeth, they beareth and hopeth and endureth all things. Of course, we all ought to, but I'm just talking about the mother's love now. It's a good habit to have. It really is. Now, the next one, number four, here's the other layer. The other four is kindness. This will cause us to see the little things in each other's lives that we can help someone with. I'm looking back at you all, and I don't mean to pick any certain people out for any particular reason, but I'll never forget Patty and Richard are converts of Becky and John. Becky went fishing, as you all know. We had this thing going fishing, and Becky went fishing. She just kept getting that rod and reel and going down there and casting it on their window. But they're here because of Becky's faithfulness to go fishing. She never quit. And I'll tell you, if you're gonna go fishing, don't stop till you're through, and God's never through with you. So does that give you any reason how long? But the first time that Richard came to me and he said, you're going to be using your car tomorrow. And I said, no, I don't have anything particular. I've got another old car out there I can drive. He said, well, I want to take it. I said, I just got it paid for. But he said he wanted to take it, so I let him take it. And he brought my car back looking like a 2021. And I thought, do I have to pay you, Richard? Because I know how much detailing is, but Richard detailed that car out of the kindness of his heart. And I've seen the love of God in him. And that's the reason I'm saying this, is because I know that this world looks at us and they say, I need to see something. I don't want to hear, I want to see something. And so when we're kind, because of the love that God gave us, that our lives are filled with kindness, then it'll cause us to see what someone needs in their life, and we'll take care of that need. Young people who say, I love my mother. Brady probably would say that. Say, I love my mother, Brady. Did that sound good to you all? That was a little weak. But he loves his mother. But, now, Brady, listen up. But is he kind to his mother? Now, if you're kind to your mother, if you love your mother, you'll be kind to your mother, and you'll be saying, Mom, what can I do to help you? You're gonna be kinder. This is get Brady now. The only thing that can make you what you need to be to your mother, Brady, is you love her, and you'll show that by being kind to her, and you'll go around the house whistling and singing and just showing her all kinds of joy. So keep that in mind, will you? Say yes. Because love is not a passive word. Love is a very active word. So if you think you can just say it and not mean it, it's just a noise. That's all it is. So now let's go on. Now, goodness. I know that the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. Y'all use that all the time. I know you do. But goodness, this goodness right here, this goes a lot farther than that. This goodness here, this word means it means that you have a holiness in your character. Goodness. Not that you're good. There is none good, no, not one. But he is. And you allow him, by the way of the Holy Spirit, to live through you, so then the goodness can show. So you can see that holiness of character. Right? Yeah. And the righteousness in your conduct. You can see that. It'll be right here. What's the first one that brings that on? Love. Yeah, if you don't have that first, you can't have that holiness of character. If you don't have that love, you won't have that righteousness in your conduct. You see, goodness takes in both of these. That's what makes it so good, you see. We tell our children. We love them, don't we? We tell them to be good. Now be good, children. They don't know what that means. I wasn't a good child. I was, I guess if my dad and mom, you know, if they'd tell you the truth, they'd tell you I was terrible. I know my dad said I was the ugliest baby he ever saw. And I think that's what ruined me. I think that's what messed my mind up, Jimmy. But he made a good one out of me. He showed me what to do. I may have been a child, but he wanted me to be a good child. But the only thing that would make me a good person is the goodness of God, which would take in my holiness of character. And I couldn't have this until I received Jesus Christ, because, you see, he had the fruit of love. And the fruit of love had to be there before I could be this goodness, have this goodness in me. Had to be there. And then faithfulness. Love only can keep us faithful. I have seen so many people try. You ever heard that word, Nick? I try. That's your problem. That's your problem. You try. What are you trying? What are you doing? Come on. Is there a list of things you can do to try to be faithful? There's not. You can't come up with a list of things you can do and then call yourself faithful because you kept the list. It's not going to work. If you're not faithful in your heart toward God, you won't be faithful to the church. And if you don't love him and you don't love the people that you worship with, your brothers and sisters, because Doris will tell you, if you want to know you're saved, you got to love the brethren. Right, Doris? That'll go to the grave with us, honey. That's an inside joke with me and Doris. If you want to know you're saved, you'll love the brethren. Well, you'll also love the Lord. But you see, what he's saying here is you won't be faithful to me unless you love me. And unless you love your brothers and sisters and want to be with them. We wonder why in the world people aren't faithful to the house of God. They're not faithful to the house of God because they don't love the house of God. They don't love the Lord. They don't love their brothers and sisters. I'm sorry, but if that sounds bad, it just sounds bad. We just got to get it straight. So faithfulness is important. It's important to me. Then he used one that we don't use a lot because nobody wants to think about this one. Meekness. I don't want you to think that I'm a meek little guy. Connie said, we don't. I read your lips, Connie. Meekness. But meekness is necessary, folks. It is. And it's not something that you can drop your head and say, well, I'm a meek person, and drop your head and slump your shoulders, and that makes you a meek person. That's not it at all. Meekness is actually very active. It's an active humility. Now, I've had people to almost laugh out loud when I tell them I'm humble. And I see some smiles breaking all over y'all. And I know you don't think that, but I am. Because the Lord made me that way. He had a way of humbling me. I never knew how he did it, but he did it. So believe that, okay? We're doing what we can in our humble way. That's what we do. Right here. Right? Meekness caused Christ to stay in the carpenter shop. Caused him to bear the message of God to a lost and dying world. What else would have helped him do that? He had to have it. For him to bear his cross, he had the power to take that cross and beat them all upside the head. If he'd wanted to, he could have called them down. He didn't do that. He was meek all the way, knowing that you have the power. Knowing that you have the power and you stay within the confines of God's rules and regulations and you do what he says. That's meekness. Temperance. Temperance is self-control. I think this goes a lot further than just alcohol and drug abuse. You know, we use the word a lot in temperance and when we're talking about alcohol and drugs. But self-control can be about anything. Not for yourself. If I'm going to be temperate and I'm going to have self-control, that self-control ought to be for you, because I've got to love you. And if I don't love you, I'm not going to be what I need to be. I'm not going to have the temperance that he's talking about. I'm not going to have this layer of temperance in my life. If it wasn't for the love of others, we wouldn't be any of these things. Because did I say right at the very beginning that the fruit's on my tree's for you? And I give you authorization to pluck that fruit and use it. If you see something good in my life and it looks like the brightest apple on the tree, you go ahead and get it and use it, okay? Because it's not for me, it's for you. And it just left the building. If you can love, you've tasted victory. Because all the rest of it will follow suit if you can really honestly love. Think about what it is to honestly tell somebody that you love them, especially your Lord. How can I love? Just turn your life totally over to the Holy Spirit of God and say, "Now, Holy Spirit, guide me. Direct me. When I show a bad spirit, get me on track. Live through me. I want to be what you want me to be." That's a Christian message tonight. And I hope that you've taken a fresh look at the 9 fruits of the fruit, the 9 layers of the golf ball. That's how you'll remember it. Tom says there is a 5-layer ball. Well, I just gave you a 9-layer, okay? Hit it with confidence. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we're grateful. We're grateful that you've given us a light heart here tonight, but knowing the seriousness of having the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, and that it's guided by the love that we have for you and for each other. We're just going to praise you for everything you've done. Now, Lord, we realize that there are many, many people in our congregation who need prayer. And there are many outside our congregation who need prayer. We want to be everything we can be for you. And we're going to praise you for the love that you've given us and for all the other fruit that can come forth from our tree. We praise you for everything. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.